Our New Testament lesson this morning is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. Hear now the word of our Lord. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." That's a good starting, but I think we need to understand why that is significant. I think we need to look back a little farther in Acts and understand that Paul and Timothy had just joined Paul's ministry, and along with Silas, who was there. There had already been a disagreement between Barnabas and Paul because Mark had abandoned the ministry and gone back home. And then he came back and wanted to join the ministry again, and Paul didn't want to have any part of it. So Barnabas and Mark went one way, and Paul and Silas went the other way, taking Timothy with them. But it didn't work out the way they wanted. Paul and his companions, they went down through Phrygia and Galatia, and they had wanted to go into the province of Asia, but the Holy Spirit prevented them from doing this. The Scripture doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit prevented them from doing this, but the Spirit prevented them from entering that region and forbade it, and so they decided that they were going to go into Bithynia, and once again the Spirit forbade them from going in that direction, although they would come back to those areas from the west later on, but they did not. So instead of going over here or over here, our scripture starts here, and it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia, which would have been not going off to the left or to the right, but going straight ahead. And it says, and the man was begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And this was in Paul's dream. After Paul had seen this vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Now we notice here it says we. And before it was talking about they did this and they did that and they saw that. And suddenly now we see we. And since we know the writer of Acts is Luke, this is Luke saying we. So Luke is now with them. He wrote about the whole thing, but sometimes he's with them and sometimes he's not. And you'll see he'll leave and then come back in chapter 20. He'll be back again, and it's we again. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and leading city in that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of them listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, which was purple color was very difficult to obtain in that day. A dealer in purple cloth from the city of Phrygia, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house," and she persuaded us. Moving on now to the gospel lesson, which is found in John 14. And we spent most of this year dwelling in the book of John. And 14, starting with verse 15 through 29. And Jesus is talking to the disciples, his small group, his close group of disciples only, not to masses. He said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." That means in addition to himself, another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace be with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Father in heaven has promised many things over the ages. And I think that it's good to look at those promises and understand the nature of God when he makes promises. The earliest promises came to Adam and Eve when covenants were made with them, and they did not keep those covenants. Yet they broke their covenants and were condemned to sin. Given up to sin, really. And later covenants were made with Noah, that if Noah would preserve this small remnant of humankind when God flooded the world, God saw the sorrow that it caused with the loss of everything and everyone that they knew, and gave the sign of the rainbow and promised never again to flood the whole earth, which has never happened again. And then God came to Abram, whom he renamed Abraham. And God promised him that if he left everyone he knew and left everything that he knew and gathered his immediate family with him, leaving his father, leaving his friends, leaving his wealth, and journeyed off to a direction that God would give him directions on later, that he would lead him to a promised land and that he would make his nation great. Now, God didn't tell him how he was going to do that, but God did this through many ways and over long periods of time, bringing even Joseph into slavery, sold by slavery to his brothers, and going into Egypt and going there and bringing the rest of his family of 70 in and growing over 400 years to a nation of over a million people. And then Moses bringing Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Eventually, after 40 years, they entered the promised land, fulfilling the promise, one of the promises, or several of the promises that God had given to Abraham. God always keeps his promises. And here we have Jesus Christ promising, if you love me, I will bless you. I will keep you. If you love me, you will be mine, and I will be in you. Now, Jesus doesn't really leave it at that because he knows us and he knows our hearts. He didn't just make this offer to anyone. He made this offer to the ones he had already drawn in. And it's very much the same today. Those who have been drawn in, those who have yearned to hear, to learn of God, those who have yielded to that tug that God put, when God pulls on our hearts, when God draws us into himself, draws us into a closer relationship, God will keep his promise. And he said that I am leaving you. That is, Jesus knew that he would be crucified, and he knew that even his disciples that he had taught for 3 years, that he had lived with day and night for 3 years, and explained to them the Old Testament scriptures and gone through the teaching with them and told them what was going to happen, he knew that this was beyond their ability to understand. And isn't much of what God asks of us beyond our ability to understand? We have to trust God. And so Jesus said that, I'm not going to leave it just for you to trust God. I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you the Helper. I will send to you another one who will lead you, who will guide you, who will be in you and with you always. And he promises to give us the Holy Spirit. And so our belief in him is not of our own doing, but of the drawing in of the Holy Spirit, and is reinforced and given witness to us through the Holy Spirit. And Sunday after Sunday, we come to church and we hear talk of the Holy Spirit. We hear talk of the regeneration, of the renewal, of the changed lives that can come only through Jesus Christ. And then we go home. And what happens to the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit between this Sunday and next Sunday? What will you do with the Holy Spirit in your life? What will you do with it? You know, I've heard the advertisements recently for a special kind of wallet. Now that we have these new credit cards that have a little chip in them, instead of the magnetic strip, that has a little chip in them that you can insert in, and this reader will read them, and some readers will even read them when you wave them over the in front of it. And so people have been very clever, as ingenious as the scientists who help us in our lives are. There are thieves who are just as ingenious, and they have thought of ways to come up and stand beside us and copy those little chip devices that we have in our pockets. So other genius people, very smart people, know how radio frequency works, and they have built wallets and pocketbooks and containers to put our credit cards with these chips in it, so that they are screened and protected so that they can't be detected. So you can have the chips in your purse, in your pocket, on your person, and the person can come up to you and not know it. Isn't that what a lot of us do with the Holy Spirit? That we're like one of these protective envelopes that
make sure that the Holy Spirit doesn't get out and doesn't, it can't be detected by the person standing next to us. It can't be detected by the person who that we run into in the grocery store. It can't be detected by the nurse attending to us. That it can't be detected by the technician drawing our blood. That it can't be detected by the person coming to tell, to read their electric meter, or the person coming to turn our electricity off. It can't be told by that. Because we keep the Holy Spirit a secret. We keep our shield around it. We make sure no one can pick up on this, because, you know, people in the world are offended today when we talk about Jesus Christ. People in the world are get very upset and take it personal that we're complaining about them or holding them up to shame if we talk about our faith in Jesus Christ. We need to remove those shields. We need to open that up and allow the world to be able to see and know who you are and who is in you and who you represent and who you have dedicated your life to. Jesus Christ said, this is how you love him. And he says, if you love him, that he will be in you and he will be there. And so we can know that when we witness for Jesus Christ, when we tell others about the difference that Jesus Christ makes in our life, the peace that he gives us, the joy that he brings, the security that we have through him, when we tell others this, we know that we're not standing there alone. But Jesus Christ is standing there with us, beside us, and in us. That the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is calling us to be his. Jesus Christ can make an enormous difference in our lives. That's wrong. Jesus Christ makes all the difference in our lives. He is the only difference in our lives. Without Jesus Christ, everything else is all the same. It is struggle, it is heartache, it is pain. And we choose to bear it alone. But here Jesus Christ talks over and over and over again about the love that he has for you, about the love that he has for me, about how he will be with you now and forever. Why do we want to do this all alone? Why do we want to take this upon ourselves? Why do we want to have fear to speak up and speak out and to share when Jesus Christ is right there with us? The Spirit is in us and calling us and drawing us. Just as when we go off in the wrong track, in the wrong direction in life, God puts up his hands and says, don't go. And Paul and his disciples didn't go where God didn't want them to go. And then they wanted to go in another direction, and he put up a block. Sometimes we say that when a door is closed, another door will open. And this is where that saying comes from. The door to Paul was closed. He could not go where he wanted to go and share the gospel. And so he wanted to go here, and the door was closed, and God would not let him take the gospel there. But God opened the door to him through the drawing of the Holy Spirit and drew him into Macedonia, because that's where God wanted him to go right then. He'd go to the other places later on, but he had to do not only what God wanted him to do, but he had to do it the way and when God wanted him to do it. And so God drew him into Macedonia, and he spoke and shared the gospel, and there were people there waiting to hear it. And don't you know, when God draws you to come and share the gospel, the good news with people, there will be people there ready to hear it. Because you have heeded the word of God. You have heeded the tugging of the Spirit. You have yielded to what God has asked you to do. And the door will be opened. And you won't be doing it alone. Jesus told us that, take on my yoke. The burden is light. And you walk with me, it's easy. Walking with Christ instead of tugging against Christ, walking with the yoke instead of tugging against the chains and pulling against it and going the other way. How do we know where Jesus wants us to go? How do we know what he wants us to do? We read his word. We spend time in his word. We need to read the word of, we need to read the word of God every single day. We need to spend time in prayer every single day. You can be in your car and be praying to God. You can be sitting down in a chair and praying to God. You can be on your knees and praying to God. You can be in the dark. You can be in the light. It can be in the morning. It could be at night. Doesn't matter. But you need to spend time every day praying to God and listening for that small, still voice to guide you, so that we know that when we walk through that door, that it's a door that's been opened for us, and we're not walking through a door that he has closed. We're not trying to push through. We're walking in the direction, and we don't need to do it alone. I've had times in my life when I have done what I thought were very, very good things, and they were so hard, and it just didn't work, and it just didn't move, and it just wouldn't happen because I was not yielding to the Holy Spirit. I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do when God wanted me to do it. And it's only when we walk with God, it's only when we listen to God, it's only when we dwell in his word that he will share with us his plans. And his plans are marvelous. And his plans are wonderful. And his plans are easy. They're scary, but the door will be opened. Amen.